pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, you just text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Coming up in about 30 minutes, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, as we close out the week. Reset the news here. Cassidy is going to vote for Todd Blanche to be the attorney general. That kind of clears the way for him to be confirmed. And Cassidy essentially said, well, the next nominee may be worse. So just go ahead and bite the bullet here, guys. Democrats are not going to vote for him. And I think he's lost a couple of Republican votes. So it's going to come right down to the wire. And it looks like the votes are counted with a yes vote from Cassidy that it's going to happen. See what else? It's Fauci Gate. That being, well, we kind of know that he wasn't forthright with the public. There's been a real deterioration in public trust. The way you win that trust back is just kind of be upfront about it. But as with everything pertaining to public policy, it's been hyper-politicized. To me, this is a no-brainer for Republicans, and Republicans got to pursue this. This is what we voted for. Finally, some clarity on what really happened. Because, you know, it's a big ask. And sometimes the government takes great liberties here, and they take the public for granted. Oh, we'll just tell them whatever we want to tell them, and they'll just do whatever. They'll just go along with it. But the next time there is a pandemic or some kind of public emergency, and it'll happen. I mean, it may not be a pandemic, or it may not be a 9/11. It'll be something. The people are just, well, you weren't upfront with us about COVID-19. Why should we believe you this time? So that's why this matters. Why are we still talking about it? And I think that's why. But also, it has a lot to do with why Trump was elected in 2024. It really breaks down along those ideological lines where in a crisis, you're looking for some kind of higher power, looking for help. Some people, some of you, I hope, are praying about it, asking for solutions. But a lot of people just are very dismissive of faith in these circumstances, and they look to the government. And the government let them down. So the Fauci stuff, that's why. I didn't locally here, another municipality is considering breaking away from a bigger school system. City of Fairhope, where I live, wants to walk away from Baldwin County Public Schools. And I guess the question is, not that I'm not necessarily opposed to it, what is the tangible benefit of breaking away from the big school system? What is the increase in quality? What are we going to see here out of it if something like that were to go down? 251-343-0106. Unnamed texter, Pelosi, Schumer, and Schiff went to China in November 2019, and the coronavirus appears. Scroll, Vereen. Let me show you the craziness I endured the other day while trying to listen to your show when I forgot my earbuds. With the speaker on, I set my phone on a half-built brick wall, and it fell in a narrow gap behind it. There's a picture of a wall here, and there's the space between the flashing and the wall. And with April Marie Fogle talking on the way down, weirdly, as if she herself fell behind the wall, it fell about 4 feet. It could still be seen. The picture is the aftermath after a masonry guy managed to saw through a brick, and only one brick, unfortunately, not sawing through the phone, and retrieved the phone unscathed. So essentially, it's this brick wall that's being built, and the mason having to cut out a single brick to grab the phone out of it, and then, I guess, replace that brick, that individual brick. Well, Scroverina, that's dedication. Imagine having April Marie Fogle on your walls. Hey, Tex, you're glad you're back. Not a fan of Rebecca Watson. Not way too liberal for this audience. Really? So I find her to be more on the conservative side of things. Unnamed texter. I heard she did a good job. So anytime somebody takes time out of their busy schedule, their life, to fill in for yours truly, I'm grateful. Named texter, based on the feasibility study, the estimated upfront cost to create a Fairhope Municipal School System is estimated to start up $5.37 million. Estimated startup revenue available $1 million. Estimated funding gap the city would need to cover is that $4.37 million. That doesn't seem like that high of a hurdle, to be honest. That $4.5 million, would they do a bond issue? I don't know. But what are the benefits here? Mike writes, the Fauci thing is all political theater. I specifically remember the Boomer's dear leader threatening all the Republican governors didn't follow his administration's advisement. The rewriting of COVID history is ridiculous. Well, Mike, it was a scary time to say that we all knew what was going to happen. Is probably a little disingenuous. Not trying to make excuses for Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Now, I think later on, I think there were some liberties taken, A, with the elections, to benefit Democrats, and there wasn't much Republicans could do. They were on the losing side of it. But B, that probably the most impactful side. I mean, it was the amount of money the government put into the economy and the inflation we're still living with today. That you could kind of see this happening. The Trump administration goes before like a Senate committee, and they're, well, where do you need to combat the COVID-19 virus? And the Trump administration apparently lowballed it, and even Republican senators, Richard Shelby, our own senator at the time. Well, that's not nearly enough. And what they used this crisis just to green light a bunch of federal funds to go out the door. So all of a sudden, we have this money for things like rural broadband. All this money pumped into the economy, particularly into state governments. And they don't pass it along to taxpayers in some places. Some places they did. They spent it for themselves. They put it toward prisons. That's what they did. You didn't get your grocery tax holiday or any holiday. And there was some push to get the gas tax. And, well, the gas prices are already pretty low. Toothless Bammer writes, what happens when a school splits from the county to the city? Is there much better football programs? Dallas area schools that have split, high school stadiums that resemble Sunbelt venues, Orange Beach and Gulf Shore, Saraland, all seem to have flourished. Maybe. It's a matter of civic pride. I don't know. Like, what is, this is the key question for me. What is the tangible benefit? What is going to be the boost to education outcomes should they break away in Fairhope? We look at Shelby County, and that's another example, Alabaster. Thompson High School, and it's run right now, and it's upgraded the facilities. And look, Toothless Bammer, we kind of scoff at the idea that they're going to build these, like, junior college or mid-major level sports facilities, but there's people who believe that's a net positive for the community. Better facilities, upgrading that quality of life. They see it as an asset. It may be a misappropriation or misplacement of priorities, but hey, we're going to hear from Senator Elliott, and I think he's on the side of kind of breaking up the Baldwin County public school system. But you got to think about this way too. If you don't like big government, you like smaller government. Well, this in theory is the downsizing. One big centralized government entity versus several small ones. DEI Texter, the initial cost is $50 million off the top. City schools systems are a waste of resources and unnecessary of government, necessary growth of government. The two-year college system went the opposite direction and thrived. City needs to fund a fire department, fix the water shortages, and keep poop out of the water. $58 million seems very high. But you keep this in mind, you're no longer paying into the system. So, in a big system like Baldwin County, our tax dollars from the more affluent, and this was the Orange Beach, Gulf Shores argument, I think, was going to fund other schools in the county. Where they didn't have that. Scrollverine. A little low on time here. One thing that really made people distrust the COVID response was the hypocrisy of Democrats letting their preferred base protest a riot while everyone was supposedly locked down. Yes. The peaceful protest with fire erupting in the background. Tangible benefit control is Fairhope, not Baldwin County Board in Bay Minette. Better facilities, better community involvement, better opportunities for Fairhope students. And for Matt, Jason, is the school split a national trend or just a local thing? And how can these systems continue to pay these big salaries to leadership? Another question is, do you need a school superintendent that makes $300,000 a year? Elliot is pushing the breakaway. He's mad about the Eastern Shore keeping tax revenue. This is about the money, not about the kids. That from an unnamed texter. We'll get to the rest of your text on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Coming up in the next segment, State Senator Chris Elliott will be with us. Coming up on Monday's broadcast, Shane Stringer, a tentatively scheduled lawmaker from Mobile County, and Dale Jackson from WVNN Yellowhammer News. I'm going to try to get Austin Sidwell, the other candidate for the 1st Congressional District, on the program as well. So that's tentatively scheduled. We haven't really formalized it yet. I'm going to get to these texts real quick. Damn Yankee. Didn't Mobile County Public Schools use COVID money from the Fed to build new football stadiums? Didn't put $1 to bring your kids up to national standards in reading or math? DI texter, wait until the Farrell librarian is the city superintendent. Ben, wouldn't Fairhope have to purchase the buildings and land from Baldwin County? I think they negotiate that. Not necessarily. Let me say that. Butter knife, I think we all agree Biden screwed up a response to COVID. Trump screwed up a response to COVID. The Democrats and the Republicans both screwed it up. DeSantis seems to be the only Republican who stood up. Yeah, DeSantis, that was his height of popularity. I need texture, fair up, breakaway property taxes go up, still paying county taxes support. Baldwin County schools, let's spend money on infrastructure. That from Coach. Unnamed texture, the city of Fairhope makes its own school system. All the kids that go to Newton Elementary, which is a mile from the Fairhope Airport, will now have to go to Foley Schools. And I assume that at some point they will try to build a new South Baldwin County High School. I don't know what they will call it, but I mean, Foley's already kind of bursting at the seams. That would be my, and regardless, if Fairhope stays, I think that that's going to happen as well. Mike, the big box store, liquor stores were considered essential and allowed to stay open, but churches were threatened if they opened. Anyone with a brain should realize it was all a sham. Everyone who went along with it should never be trusted again. And I believe the ones who enforced it should be served prison time. I think the ones who enforced it were just kind of doing what they thought was the right thing, Mike. You're lying if you're saying that you knew this was all a hoax. There were deaths attributed to COVID-19. For some reason, I thought that they wanted to inflate those. What was it? The Alabama Department of Public Health? If someone got hit by a school bus but had COVID, they would attribute that as a COVID death. But there were people, I know people who died from COVID. Now, was it the, were we going to need, was it going to be mass casualties and body bags? The thing is, human body responds, we're all different. We're all unique. Our immune systems are all unique. And people reacted to COVID in different ways. And the problem with government, just from a philosophical standpoint, is they were trying to apply a one-size-fits-all solution to something that was going to impact people in different ways. So there were some people who may have had COVID and not even have known it. They just did not have, they thought it was a cold or something. And then there were people who really needed serious medical attention because of it. They didn't know. They didn't know what to do there. And I think a lot of people, well-intentioned people, that we should give the benefit of the doubt to, who later admitted they were wrong, were trying to do the right thing, and trying to keep you safe. Now, it got a little corny. You had celebrities, and you had children's cartoons, and it was a full-fledged propaganda effort. But where I got kind of sideways was when they were threatening media outlets, when they were, you can't be a denier. You'll ride a black tornado. You can't do that. You're not allowed to question the authorities, the experts. This deference to authority. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...
sign not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday morning. Text line, you still want to try to get in, and I got a bunch. 251-343-0106 is how you interact with the program. Joining us now, he is the returning champion of the program. I'll always have him on about this time on Fridays. But our friend, State Senator Chris Elliott, is with us. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome back. Glad to have you back.
Hey, thank you. You're very kind to say that. Well, let's start here. We've got a lot of interest in this, the possibility of Fairhope breaking away from Baldwin County schools and, you know, kind of going in the direction of, you know, the two beach communities. What do you make of it?
Well, it's very interesting. I've watched schools in Baldwin County, you know, for my kids' entire, you know, matriculation, and then, you know, when I was growing up as well. And we have very good, well, we have good schools in Baldwin County, let's say that. We have very good schools in Fairhope. We had struggling problems in Gulf Shores from an infrastructure standpoint, which I think really led them to break away. And then you had really some different issues in Orange Beach that kind of drove that. But what you have seen, Jeff, in these city school systems is undeniable empirical evidence that test scores have improved. Local involvement and investment in these city schools has improved when they are their own school system. And that drives property values. And it is a really interesting thing to see city councils and mayors use this as a tool to control growth as well. And so, you know, you have a very good system. The question is whether or not you want excellence and what it takes to get there.
Well, talk about that, the growth control. How does that work?
Well, it's real simple. You have folks that absolutely want to be in a city school system if there is one. And Gulf Shores is a great example of that. If you're a developer and you're outside of the city, you want to go to the new shiny school that's ranked second in the state, right? That's an attractive thing from a property value standpoint. It's an attractive thing for families, you know, to want to move to those areas, and that drives property values. Well, that means that the city can then demand certain things out of the developer, whether it's less density, what kind of construction might look at, what kind of infrastructure from a sidewalk width or whatever that might be, to what we in the planning community call, you know, placemaking, right? And they can say, you can come into the city, we'll annex you into the city, but you have to do all of this stuff. You have to meet all of these requirements if you want to annex into the city. Or we simply tell you you're not annexing into the city and you stay out there in the county and you don't annex in. And so the smart cities are using that as an opportunity, not just to control, but to guide growth. And it's turned out to be way more effective than planning or zoning or subdivision regulations, because you can demand almost anything to allow them into the city at that point.
What about the cost? I keep hearing this and the upfront cost to break away. And there was a little bit of this is part of the growing pains of with Orange Beach. What do you say to people, you know, higher taxes or anything of that magnitude?
So the studies I've seen in Fairhope indicate that there's not an additional annual cost to do this, and that the city would be able to fund their own school system without any increased taxes. So let's put a pin in that. I think that's a fact. And then you got to go, okay, now, but what about this upfront cost? So I passed some legislation years ago that said, hey, if you leave, you have to pay the depreciated value of the buildings, the infrastructure, if you will, that the county has owns in your area that you're taking with you, right? You are going to pay those costs anyway, because the county was going to load them up with debt, right, to protect those assets. And so this was a cost that was going to be there anyway, but it really does make it easier to quantify the numbers and what you're going to owe if you leave up front. And it removes some uncertainty in what those figures are. And so in Fairhope's case, it's north of $30 million, if I remember correctly. And that's a, you know, that's a good number to have. At least you know what that number is. And it's not, you know, how much debt is out there. Is it more or less than what the value of the building is, et cetera? It's not determined by the State Department of Education. It's right there. It's in state law. And so they know what that is. And they're going to have to figure out how they're going to accomplish, you know, paying for that if that's what they want to do. Orange Beach wrote a check, right, when they left. Mayor Kennan said it was a lot like a divorce. I knew what I was, you know, going to have to pay to leave. And it was, this was the number, and off we went and never looked back. Fairhope will have to come up with a similar solution to that. They'll have to figure out how they're going to accommodate that.
What do you think it's worth it then? And you know, you acknowledge there's some benefits and there's some improvements when this happens. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Well, that's a question that the Fairhope City Council is going to have to answer. And this is a Fairhope City Council decision. Now, you can have a non-binding referendum, you know, kind of take the temperature, if you will, of the electorate. But at the end of the day, this is a city council decision. And they're going to have to decide, is it worth it, either upfront costs to the buildings, or is it worth the headache, if you will, because it is a lot to manage your own school system, right, to go from very good to excellent. And that's what I would say. I think Fairhope is in a better position right now than Gulf Shores was, and maybe even Orange Beach. There was more pressure to leave the school system there, the county school system, than there might be in Fairhope, because Fairhope is a very impressive feeder pattern. Okay, no question about it. The question is, do you want to be excellent? Do you want the best athletic facilities? Do you want the highest test scores? Do you want academic excellence, or do you want undeniably very good? And so your analogy is the juice worth the squeeze is one that Fairhope is going to have to answer for itself. It is a lift. It may, you know, require upfront. It will require upfront money. It is a tough decision, but the decision is between excellence, incredible test scores, or what is undeniably very good.
What about the students who may not be in the municipality? What about those who are in the feeder pattern, who are kind of in limbo? It seems to me that at some point, Baldwin County is going to have to build a school or create a system or do something in the southern part or the southwestern part of the county.
So state law is very clear on this, and that is that the city school's responsibility is to educate children that live within the municipal limits, period. And so if you're not in the city, then it is not the city school system's, whatever city school system's, obligation to accept you, take you, educate you. That is a burden of the city school system and only those that live in the city. However, there are attendance policies that boards of education can make, city boards of education can make, to allow out-of-district attendance. And whether that's tuition, behavior-based, right? There's sometimes different issues related to that. Those policies can be implemented to waive that very strict, you live in the city, you don't live in the city, to allow kids in. In Gulf Shores and Orange Beach's cases, both of those city school systems grandfathered kids in that were already going to those schools. Both of those schools also charge tuition for out-of-district kids. And Jeff, what you're going to see in the near future here as the income limits come off is that school choice is going to be universal. And those kids are going to have about $7,500 of walking around money to go to whatever school they want to go to. And so you will see probably those tuitions in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores increase to that $7,500. And there's no reason to think that Fairhope couldn't do the same thing and charge, you know, essentially what the limits of the school choice is for out-of-district kids to come to Fairhope.
But, you know, possibly you're having kids in what, Point Clear or, you know, Barnwell, those communities south of Fairhope would what, have to attend school over in Foley?
Well, and that's where it becomes, you know, we go back to our growth issue and our annexation issue, right? That's where those folks in Point Clear start looking at it going, hold on just a second. I really want to be in the Fairhope school district, right? And I'm going to annex in now, where before I was getting the police coverage and the fire coverage and I didn't have to pay those taxes. Now I want to be a full-fledged member of Fairhope as opposed to just having a Fairhope zip code, right? And I want to annex in. And that's where it becomes a growth tool, because you get to really regulate very heavily who you let in and who you don't. Now, here's the other thing I want to mention, and I think it's important to note. The flip side of this is also true. You're saying, hey, these kids in Barnwell may have to go to Foley. I know the city of Daphne is looking at this as well. I mean, they are actively considering forming their own school system. What Fairhope needs to be concerned about, if they don't go in this direction, is the very real possibility that everybody outside of the city of Daphne's municipal limits may end up getting zoned to Fairhope.
So Daphne goes and they get stuck with, you know, the outliers, right? And that's a real possibility.
It is a real possibility. And again, this is just, you know, who's controlling your destiny? If you have your own city school board, you're controlling your own destiny. If you don't, you're relying on this county school board that is very much made up of people that aren't from Fairhope, except for one, right? That is going to be determining what these feeder patterns look at. And it is a very real possibility if Daphne decides to split and form its own city school system, again, a very real possibility, then those kids that live outside of the municipal limits of Daphne would likely go to Robertsdale or I think probably more likely end up at Fairhope High School. And so if you don't take this step while others around you are actively looking at taking this step, then you may end up being impacted because of inaction.
What the Baldwin County public school system, did it just get too big, too much of behemoth, unmanageable? I mean, you know, you hear a lot of criticisms about it. These seem to be more prevalent here in the last several years, but what went wrong there?
Oh, I'm not going to get into what went wrong, but I will say this. Baldwin County is a microcosm of the state of Alabama as a whole. You have areas that are very wealthy and you have areas that aren't. Okay. The Baldwin County public school system has tried really hard, and it's a valiant effort, to treat all areas of the county the same, and to provide similar opportunities, similar facilities to folks in some areas of the county that may not have those opportunities, but for the wealthy areas of the county. The problem is they've done that, you know, essentially at the expense of the more well-off areas of the county. They certainly did it in Gulf Shores, right? Trailers falling in, roof leaking and everything else, until Gulf Shores had enough and said, that's it. We have the ability to go do this on our own. You are putting us in line behind other areas of the county to get the improvements that we need, to get the maintenance that we need. We're just going to go take care of ourselves. And so that's kind of what started this whole thing. And so what you're seeing is, whether it's test scores or competition for, you know, turf on a athletic complex, or, you know, or a 50 yard indoor practice facility versus 100 yard indoor practice facility versus a no indoor practice facility, you start seeing some disparity. Or, you know, if we look at it in a free market terms, you start seeing competition, right? And so these folks are saying, we have the ability to do this. We have the financial ability to do this, and we can. And so if you want excellence and you have the ability, the financial ability to do it, why should you continue to subsidize, you know, the rest of the county? And so those are the hard truths and the hard facts. And it may sound callous, but that's exactly the calculus that's going on. Not just in Baldwin County, between the cities and the county as a whole, but across the whole state of Alabama. And it's not new.
Well, and I guess, you know, back to the Baldwin County question, though, is just having a giant school system with a bunch of different and very unique communities in municipalities within it versus something smaller. I mean, you know, as conservatives, we want smaller government. And to me, like, you know, just from a theoretical standpoint, breaking it up would have to be probably more of a self-governance thing.
It is. It's a. It's more of a self-governance. It's. It's a smaller, closer to, you know, your little community governance than this big behemoth of a countywide school system, right? It's, hey, there's some ice on the road in Perdido. We're going to shut down the whole school system in Orange Beach because the bus in Perdido can't get up and down the county road. I mean, I saw that happen, and it made the folks in the rest of the county. Why are you doing? Well, we do for one, we have to do for all. And there's a point where that's not an acceptable message for parents or students anymore, and so you see people start to change how they feel about that. You also see just some civic pride that comes along with it, and increased investment, private investment in a city run school system. You saw the MAC, the Mako Athletics and Arts Council, the other day announced that they had raised over $1 million in private funding for their school system of just over 1,200 kids, $1 million in private funding. You don't see that in other feeder patterns. It is a civic pride issue as well.
Well, and you know, I live in Fairhope, and I'm very interested in this. Is this really what the community needs? And this is something, you know, you probably say the city council really needs to take a hard look at this, but we have a volunteer fire department. You have a lot of other needs. Is this something you would think that would rise to the level of needing to be addressed at this moment in time?
That's a tough question, because, and I do think Fairhope's in a unique situation. And that is, again, it has better than average scores. It has better than average retention, teacher retention. It is, in any way you look at it, the feeder pattern is very good. Fairhope High School, Fairhope Elementary, all those are very good schools. And so, again, the question comes down to, do you want to have the assets and the resources that you see in other school systems like Orange Beach and Gulf Shores? Do you want excellent? Do you want, you know, the gold plated, if you will? Or do you want very good? And there's nothing wrong with very good. It's just a choice the people of Fairhope are going to have to make. And then the follow-up, and I can't stress this enough, is do you want to continue to be governed by a county school system and at the, you know, the really the mercy of their whims when it comes to your feeder pattern, if you start seeing Foley leave or Daphne leave, and then you end up being the repository for what's left over?
Well, and, you know, like, it looks to me like, you know, the bigger communities, the more affluent communities are essentially subsidizing the rest of the county. And that seems to be where the rub is, that, look, we're having to pay for students, you know, school systems 40 miles away. And this is the rub with the Orange Beach tax question. And does that come up?
You're absolutely right. It is just that. And look, Fairhopians are altruistic and caring utopian folks by nature, right? But at the end of the day, you are absolutely subsidizing kids in a school system outside of the Fairhope municipal limits. And it's going to be up to Fairhope leaders, right, to decide if they want to continue to do that or not.
Senator, we got to leave it there. You're very kind to come on every week, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Park and holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland delight.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Friday morning. Coming up Monday on the program, Shane Stringer, Adele Jackson, and a guest to be named later, but we're working on that even as we speak right now. Matthew Citarelli is 100% correct. Parents and communities want excellent school civic pride. Is much more engaged in smaller school districts, just like college football. Auburn fans demand excellence. Alabama fans demand excellence. South Alabama and Troy are okay with football. Jason Simpson's preparing to break off from Mobile. Also, Butter Knife. Jeff, I deal with the city every day. And Fairhope has a lot of issues. Other cities, Daphne does not have. Fairhope has a hard time with basic infrastructure. They're behind the times of a lot of issues. On a texture, you're not controlling your destiny if your vote is taken away. Come up here shortly, Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
I want to catch up more on your trip, and sounded fun hearing your description, and sounded like a good time out there. Yeah, I'm going to pick your brain. Actually, coming up in the show today, in hour number two, it's a pretty interesting conversation. It got some news back when it was slated to happen, and then some news last year when they put it out. But we're growing redfish in cages off the coast. Did you know that? We're growing, like, aquaculture?
I didn't know we were doing that here, but yep. I heard of that. Yeah,
so we're doing it here. And this summer, they started the harvest of those redfish. And we're going to talk to the head of that, Dr. Ashley McDonald, Dolphin Island Sea Lab, is going to join us in hour number two. We'll talk about how they did it, and you know what the plan is and where we go from here on that. So it's pretty cool stuff. We'll talk about that with her in the 1 o'clock hour. Also coming up, another day, another Pritchard story in the mix. So we'll get into that in probably second half hour. But if I could have you hold on, I got some questions for you about news stories that happened while you were gone. I'd like to get your take on.
Oh, boy. Well, if it's a pop quiz, I'm not going to.
It's not a pop quiz. No, it's something that you have some knowledge of.
All right. Well, as long as it's not deep sea fish hatcheries, we should be all right.
Not fish hatcheries. Straight politics, man.
All right. Well, that's it for me. I guess you're going to get bonus, Jeff Poore. I know some of you are thrilled about that. Coming up here shortly. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.